Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Head on Fire is a Patreon-supported podcast. Supporters of the show get early access to ad-free episodes, a private Discord server, archives, and more. All benefits are offered on a sliding scale, so no matter your level of donation, you never miss out. If you like this show, consider supporting it with a dollar a month or whatever you can at patreon.com/headonfirepod. Thanks, and enjoy the show. There used to be a certain level of mystique to being an actor. You didn't really know much about these people beyond the portrayals of their characters on screen. You would see them on red carpets, smiling and waving to cameras, and in the occasionally over-curated interview that appeared in newspapers or magazines, accompanied by a glossy photo spread. But with the advent of reality television and, of course, social media, the separation between artist and audience has vanished. We know a lot more about the human beings that portray the characters that we know and loathe and love and despise and can't wait to see in the next installment of this massive comic book franchise. We know a lot about them. But what about the people that you can't always put a face to? I'm talking about voice actors, the people that give life to everything from the training video that you had to sit through at work, to a tearjerker commercial that makes your mom cry every Thanksgiving, to your favorite animated character, and of course, your favorite video game. Voice actors bring the world to life, but what it takes to be a successful voice actor? Well, that's the subject of today's interview. I'm talking to Tawny Plattis. She began life as a working child actor, took a left-hand turn into retail, and has been a successful full-time voice actress for many years. And she's my guest today to peel back the curtain and the microphone on what it takes to actually be a successful voice actor. What are some of the biggest misconceptions? And exactly how many training videos has she recorded? Here's Tawny Plattis. Tawny Plattis, thank you so much for being here on Head on Fire. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me here.
I love that, obviously, we're recording this together because we are just so professional and rich and famous and stuff. So I love that you invited me personally into your sound booth.
Yeah, this is my recording studio. This is the temporary one anyway.
I love it. Okay, so for folks who don't know you or your work, tell people who you are and what you do.
I'm Tawny Plattis. I'm a voice actor and comedy content creator. So you may have heard me if you've ever done e-learning things, trainings for work, click next to continue, select the best answer. That's me a lot of the times.
I love it. So I have a million questions about the world of voice acting, voice performance, that kind of thing. But first, could we have a tiny what's going on behind you? I do love the sheer volume of Umbreon occurring behind you. I don't know what the plural for Umbreon is. I didn't think I would ever need to know that in real life, but apparently I do. What's going on behind you? We've got a lot of friends behind us.
We do. I am recording a lot of my day in a padded room all by myself, so that doesn't really lend for the best mental health climate. So I decorate my recording space, so it's really cozy, it's really cute. So everything is like purple and pink, and there's Pokemon on a little shelf behind me. I stream as well. So having like a nice little backdrop is really pleasant. There's little stars and lights all over the place. So I basically have tried to make it a very cozy e-girl atmosphere for an old lady, geriatric at 32, you know?
Oh my God, I'm literally older than you by quite a bit. So let's not go there. So for folks who don't know about the world of voice acting, I feel like it is a world that I like to talk to people in fields where the audience kind of already thinks they know everything there is to know about that world, and they don't at all. And I feel like voice acting, voice performance is one of those worlds that is a vast world in and of itself. Like, I feel like when people talk about like acting, they think of, oh, I do commercials, I do, you know, film background, you know, that kind of, I feel like because there's enough film actors out there giving interviews and on social media and stuff, I feel like we have enough of kind of a gist of what that life is like. But voice acting is a very different kind of world. And especially lately, it is a much more solitary world than I think I realized. So talk to me a little bit about how you got into this world and what your average day is like.
So I was a child actor in San Diego in the 90s. And when I say child actor, I don't mean, you know, Macaulay Culkin or Lindsay Lohan or anything like that. I worked very small, very local, but very consistently. And I got my first voiceover gig when I was in about first grade for something on radio.
Wow.
So I've been doing this for quite a few years. And when I found that my first love, which was really theater, became difficult to pursue when puberty kind of hit me like a truck.
We love theater around here. Love a theater kid.
Love theater, yeah. Total theater kid. Absolutely adore being on stage, everything about it. It got very tough to get work because I did not have a very graceful puberty. So I ended up doing a lot of stuff behind the mic because you don't have to show your face. At the time, that wasn't a big part of voice acting. So I was able to get gigs that way. And, you know, as you get older, you kind of start to see the nature of being an artist, especially when it comes to acting, especially when it comes to theater. It's very hard to make a living doing that. So I was still pursuing voice acting while I was working a full-time job. I actually owned a retail store from 18 to, gosh, how old was I? Like 25, 26.
Goodness.
And yeah, so I was
hard
working
work.
That. It was very
hard
work.
I never owned a retail store, but I've been a manager of many. And yeah. Yikey-do.
It was 10 to 12 hours a day, 6-7 days a week. So I'd go do that. And then I'd come home and I'd do voiceover for between 4 and 6 hours.
What'd you
hours.
Sell? What kind of store was this, Tawny?
It was baby supplies. So it was like, but it was used. So it was like Buffalo Exchange for kids.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Was it precious? Were people terrible?
People were awful. Like I am in entertainment now. I have much kinder, healthier interactions. It is so much better for my mental health being in entertainment.
Oh my gosh. Where rejection is everywhere. You're constantly being told you're not good enough. You're constantly getting rejected. So that's something. I mean, like I said, I worked retail for a very long time and it's hell. So
it
I guess.
Is. Retail is abusive, and I think about that every single day of my life is like, this is better on my mental health than retail. That's nuts.
That is.
Bananas.
So you eventually left it and got into were your evenings finally taking over enough that you could say, okay, well, I think I can swing this.
Exactly. I was making as much doing voiceover as I was with the retail store. So I sold my store and then transitioned over into doing voiceover full time. And that was in 2016, right? Tail end of 2016, beginning of 2017.
So is it like, you know, film, TV acting? Is there an agent involved? Are they getting you gigs or are you on some kind of, what is it? What a theater do? Is it backdoor? Is that a very different thing? What is the backstage? Isn't it backstage?
It's backstage.
I feel like
backdoor
I just said
is another website.
I was like, oh God, no. I feel like that's a very wrong thing. Yikes. That's for a very different kind of acting. Sorry. Tawny Flatus on the back door. No.
Well, you know, I am hireable for anything for the right amount.
I feel like that's true for a lot of people.
Never say no. Keep adding zeros to it and we'll talk.
Exactly.
That's good. That's good. Okay. So, but it is, so there's an agent involved. They help you get work.
There is for a lot of people, not for mm-hmm. everyone. Pretty much across the board, this is the case with few exceptions. You have those like A-list top tier voice talents. So we're talking like the Troy Bakers of the world, the people who are like in those big Hollywood mm-hmm. productions. A lot of those folks are definitely getting a lot of their work from their agents. Most of us, like, you know, your day-to-day working actors like me, we're getting our own work. Even the people who are doing well, who have like, you know, a healthy social media following, who are in some stuff that's pretty significant, we are doing most of our work. For most of us, our agents only get us about 10% of our gigs.
Mm.
But those are usually big gigs too. So it's like if you want to get those national brands, yeah. you want to get the video game stuff, like that's what your agent's doing. Most of the stuff I get nowadays is from my social media and it's from my own direct marketing. And, you know, I've been doing this since like I was 6-7 years old, and I'm now reaching that point where it's like, it's kind of nice that I'm starting to just like have people come to me at this point, which is fantastic. But you still always have those weeks where like you're doing a little bit more direct marketing.
Do you ever get recognized?
I have. Yeah.
There's, and how does that more. Work? Like, that, I mean, that's happened to me yeah. as a podcaster, and it's weird. And I will say, some of the earlier times, somebody was like, "Okay, the face and the voice are not lining up for me," and they would like close their eyes and like have me talk to them, and that did it. Is that what it's like for you?
I get mostly recognized from social media because I've done some reels yeah. that have yeah. like done sure. pretty well.
Yeah.
So I get recognized from that usually, and it's I'm wearing a hoodie right now, but I'm blasted. So I have like, and they're very unique tattoos. So a lot of times people are recognizing me from the tattoos as well. They're like, "Oh, are you that girl that does like the goofy voices and like the honest voiceover and stuff?" Like, that's wild. I was at Comic-Con last year and somebody stopped me to take a picture with me, and that was like the first time that happened, and now it's happened like pretty regularly after that, which is still like, I'm like, what is my life? Like, this is wild. I never thought I would get to that point where people were like recognizing me and like excited to see me who don't know who I am. It's been interesting, and I was not prepared for it. I'm very awkward when it happens. I'm like, oh, hey.
So for the folks who are not part of like the main cast of The Simpsons or something, like for the average working actor, like what are the majority of your jobs? You said earlier today that, or earlier today, 10 minutes ago, you said earlier that a lot of what you end up doing is like educational, informational, job related voice acting. Is that the majority of your day? Have you said the word like, I don't know, coordinate and circle back and digital and like, is that your word cloud?
That's a lot of it. It's a lot of corporate stuff. And that's just kind of where I ended up with voiceover. You generally have kind of a niche where you fit in.
Oh, okay.
And it's also less competitive in some areas than others, just because it's not the glamorous animation and video games. It's very competitive, those particular areas. So it's can be really hard to just work consistently in those genres. I happened to just fall into corporate and doing that kind of stuff. And then audiobooks really took off for me in, what was that, 2020 is when audiobooks really made a huge...
Oh, me too.
Oh, did you start narrating audiobooks?
I narrated my own audiobook.
Oh, so I see. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my thing with Simon and Schuster. I was like, I'm going to do it myself. So
those are really popular. The author narrated audiobooks are very popular.
Well, when I write fiction, an actual actor will do that because I don't have that skill set, but at least not anymore. But for nonfiction, since it's me.
Totally.
I was like, yeah, that's me and my voice. So walk us through, like, okay, so like I said, I think that most of us kind of have an idea of like the different worlds of film and TV acting. What are like the big worlds inside of voice acting?
corporate is a big one. So it's like mm-hmm. a lot of corporate training, informational stuff. So anytime you've had to sit through like compliance things, training videos for your jobs, that kind of stuff, that's a lot of what I do. We also have like IVR. So that's like the telephone stuff. So when you call and you get like the whole like, thank you for calling this university. If you know the party's extension you'd like to reach, press 1 at any time. That's a lot of the stuff I do too, is that kind of thing.
Do you ever feel bad that people somewhere are screaming at your voice? Like no. Just person, human, operator.
I cry all the way to the bank.
I love
it's
that.
It's actually interesting that you bring that up though, because that is something that a lot of people don't know about voiceover, is that AI is taking a lot of those jobs.
I was going to ask. So, and we see that a lot on some of the social media apps now, like TikTok and stuff, where they've gotten some voice files. And it's interesting because this dovetails with some of the research that I'm doing for my next book, but how there are complete AI voices and singing now as well. You can just put whatever you want into it and you can have voices sing in just about whatever style you can come up with. It'll always be on pitch. It can be performed however you want it to be. You know, they can take a style of voice. I can narrate an audiobook as SpongeBob if I really want to. It's scary, bizarre. I mean, the thing that I understand about AI is that it can mimic, but it can never innovate. It can never create anything new. But still, even then, if so much of the work is, I need this read in professional suburban white lady voice, if I can just type my text into there, that's scary.
It is. It's very scary, especially because you were saying it can never innovate. The thing is like we are all uploading our stuff online mm-hmm. all the time. And one of the things we don't realize is when we do that, those particular platforms, they own that. They can do whatever they want with it. Mm-hmm. And they have, you know, I don't know if you followed what was going on with Bev Standing with TikTok the past couple of years, but the original TikTok text-to-speech voice, she did not give permission for that. And somebody that she knew was like using the app and went, that's Bev. And they contacted her and they were like,
oh my,
that's wild, you know? And she was like, I didn't do that. I didn't okay that. And it was this whole legal thing. You can read about it. But that kind of stuff is happening. It happens. We are okaying all of these companies to do that. None of us read the fine print. We're not going to say that we do.
Sure.
And it's
and
it's
even
very
if you do,
scary.
There's the cost benefit of analysis of can
then
I
you don't
afford
have that platform. Oh,
right. Like you said, you've gotten a lot of your work from social media. You know, could I have afforded not being on social media and avoided having my voice become part of this algorithm training program? Maybe in retrospect, probably not. I mean, I've gotten work through social media. I can't afford to not have been on there all of this time. Now, I dream of a day when I don't have to be on there. I dream of a day when I have an assistant.
That day will come?
Well,
For any of us, though? I mean, like anybody, everybody has to, no? Like, don't you think that's the reality of like the way that the world is now is like we all have to be on social media using it?
In a big way, yes, I do. Yeah. But I mean, every author, I think, I think anybody in any creative field, especially, dreams of the day when we don't need to be. Like we
I
all
think
would.
That happens anymore.
Don't
I don't think
not
that,
anymore.
I don't think it's a possibility
I guess,
anymore.
I mean, would Colleen Hoover have become Colleen Hoover had she not had social media? Had she not blown up on social media? You know.
Well, and I think that's
big
something
romance
that, like,
author.
Yeah. When you look back at like people who got there before social media, I don't think that it's like that anymore. I don't think that you can get big without having some kind of presence like that. The way that we all consume media, the way that we find out about information now, I don't think it's possible to do that. Like, that's why I have a little bit of an – I have to speak carefully – a little bit of an issue with people
no, you don't.
Who don't
acknowledge
it's fine. That. With like in voiceover, they don't really, in my opinion, see things for the reality that, it, you know, see the reality of the situation, which is like, we have to adapt to like what is actually happening. And there are so many voice actors that are like, AI is never going to replace my job. I'm really good at what I do. It can't take direction. It can't emote the way that I can. I've had so many clients who've tried the AI. They get frustrated with it. So then they hired me instead. And that's just not what's that's not the future. That's not what's happening. Technology's improving. And I'm very privileged to be friends with a lot of those tech bros. So I get to see the stuff that's not out yet. And it can take direction. It can emote. It sounds like a person. And we have to evolve with that. Because I think you and I both know, if we look at, you know, the history of the world, no, at no point have we ever been like, you know what, this might be a bad idea for humanity, let's not advance the technology.
1,000%.
I'm not saying I'm okay with that.
And just look at how fast it has evolved. Just how fast it has, I mean, just since things like ChatGPT came online, what, just a few months ago, I feel like? And, you know, a number of websites, a number of apps that you can now use to input speech and to input text and have it come out as natural sounding speech. It's still not, you know, everything the average layperson would want, but it is scary how fast it's getting there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that what we have to do is we have to go, okay, so what do I bring to the table that the AI can't? And that's the human connection part. And that's why I do think that stuff like having a social media presence is so important, because that's how I started following you. I'm like, oh my God, he's so fun. Like, I was like, I love him. He's so endearing. Like, look at the smile and like that warm light and everything. I was like, and I just loved listening to you and like everything about it. I was like, this is like the coolest guy. And that's how I started following you. And that's, you know, the same reason that I've built up the audience that I have. And that's why brands hire me, is because they're like, oh, let's get Tawny Plattis to do this and she'll bring that audience.
I suppose, you know, if you think of it like in a book setting, fiction, I don't need to fall in love with the author necessarily. There are obviously authors that go on to great fame, but your book can do well without you personally being an entity right now. Social media obviously helps. We've seen that with books like Light Lark and, you know, quite a few books that get big on social media. Even books like The Song of Achilles. I talk all the time about that because it was a book that kind of languished in obscurity for 10 years. And then suddenly it blew up on TikTok overnight. And then it changed Madeline Miller's life. So, you know, social media can absolutely transform things. But in nonfiction, people have to fall in love with the author because it's that person. You know, I've seen a million people over the years say, oh, I'm going to write my memoirs. Or I've been trying to sell my memoirs and nobody wants to buy them. And I'm like, well, you aren't anyone. Like, you're just a person. You don't have a social media presence. You haven't really done anything that's like, I mean, maybe you've lived this incredible life. I don't know. But if you don't have people that are clamoring to hear that story, then unfortunately, yeah, you're probably going to have a hard time selling it.
I think like what you said too, where you were like, oh, you don't have to like be on social media as like a fiction author.
But
not
I think as that much.
There's, yeah, there's
not
still
as
like,
much.
And you're still relying on like social media presence though,
yes.
too. You know, that stuff blows up on TikTok because somebody's talking about it. So there is still that reliance on the medium, whether or not you're like the face of it or not.
No, I think what I was kind of referencing earlier is just this idea that there's like five authors who can put their name on a bag of old CVS receipts and it will become a New York Times bestseller. We all want that. All of us want that. I would dream one day of just, you know, the Stephen King of it all, the James Patterson of it all, even Colleen Hoover at this point, I feel like could probably put her name on a bag of old CVS receipts and be like, oh, number one New York Times bestseller. There's a few folks out there that have a high enough profile that they can do that. I am not one of those people. I dream of being one of those people.
I wonder like if that's something that I could talk about this all day. Like,
let's do it.
I just wonder if that's something that is like going to exist for much longer. Like you mentioned some of those names and like some of those people, like I know Stephen King, but Stephen King has
personally?
Like, no.
I was like, were you a background actor in It in the early 90s?
I should just start telling people that. Like, I was like the kid in the back of It.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know that one girl that got murdered? It was, you never see her face? That was me.
That was me. The back of my head.
That was my hand. Yep. Yeah.
But I wonder about that. Like, you know, like I recognize that name, you know, Stephen King.
Sure.
And that's because of like how he was put in the cultural zeitgeist, like before everything. You know, now I feel like you have to like maintain to be relevant, you know, like you can't just like reach that certain point and then you can put your name on anything and then it sells. Mm-hmm. Like you have to keep doing it because now it's so competitive and there's so many people and it's so accessible, which is great. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's always like, yeah, I really like this author. And then something else comes by and something else comes by. And it's like, oh, that's really cool. Oh, that's really cool. You know, we're fighting for attention now. And so I wonder if that's going to be something that is even attainable. Like you always have to be, we all have to be Lady Gaga. We all have to be reinventing ourselves and staying
constantly
in the, you know, the forefront. Yeah. The zeitgeist.
Yeah. That is very true. Perhaps the days of being able to make it big and then letting your work speak for itself only ever, without needing to rely on social media in any kind of way, that those days, maybe they are unfortunately past. I don't know about unfortunately. You do raise a lot of very good points. A lot more chairs can be pulled up to the table. A lot more tables can be built. There are a whole lot more people that are able to get new kinds of stories out than ever before. You don't have to write a book if the story that you have to tell is better as a podcast series, as an audio format. Those exist now, and it's easier for people to consume them. And there are a lot more options for storytelling, for creative output than ever before. Mm-hmm. I just hate dealing with the comment section. So I just generally want to be off social media, just generally speaking. Oh my God.
Same. Oh, the comments. I'm like, we are practicing everything we learned in therapy every time we are in those comments.
It's
like,
a lot of woo-saw around here. Mm. Just a lot of, yeah. Yeah. It's like, these reading comprehension skills, these are not being taught. It's not happening.
I completely turn into Elsa when I have to read the comments because I am letting it go.
Oh, you are better than me. So I have a question. What are the big goals, like the big dreams of the voice actor? So obviously, you know, I'm a plucky little small town guy wanting to make it big in the acting world. I go to Hollywood and I audition for film and TV. In the voice acting world, if I want to make it big, am I aiming for a TV show? Am I aiming for, I know that video games are a huge thing right now. I play a game called Genshin Impact and people talk about the voice actors on that show all the time. Do you play Genshin Impact?
I had just started to take a peek because I got into Breath of the Wild really recently. And I know. And everybody is like, oh, you should check out Genshin.
You should check out Genshin Impact. The first couple of arcs really felt like it was just, we'll just take Breath of the Wild and put some anime kids on it. But it has turned into this whole other extra thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk. I'll get your name. We'll go be friends.
Okay.
I'll help. I'm much higher level. I'll go help you beat up all your bad guys for you. It'll be fun. Yay.
I'm excited.
But like, am I aiming for video games? Am I aiming for TV shows? Is there some other world that people like? It's like, oh, actually, you know, if you really want to be at the top of the voice acting game, you need to be reading, I don't know, Muzak on Target's PA system or something. Like what are the big worlds for voice acting?
So most people, because it's the most fun, most people want to be doing character work, which is animation and video games. So for us, kind of like that, like you made it, like that, like, okay, like I'm pretty solid, is like getting that big series. So that's like you get something like Bob's Burgers and it lasts for, you know, decades. That's like the goal, is all that consistent work. That's really like the dream, is to get something that blows up and gets signed for multiple seasons and you're a main character. That is, that's the dream. What's tough about that is, like, nowadays a lot of those roles are going to people who are on-screen actors, who are A-listers, who are celebrities, because it's kind of like what I talked about earlier. It's our value nowadays as performers oftentimes is the audience we can bring. So you already have to just, like, have your own name and be big. And a lot of times that is coming from social media. So that's something where it all kind of fits together. And you need one to get the other, you know, so like having that social media presence, like I use him as an example constantly. And he's like the best example of this is Stefan Johnson. I'm not sure if you follow him. He does the snack reviews and he's a voiceover actor. So if you've ever heard that soundbite that's like, this is a work of art, that is Stefan Johnson. And and he's lovely. Nicest guy. Always happy when I get to chat with him. Can't say enough good things about him. He's, anytime I'm telling people, anytime like people are like, you know, what should I do as a voice actor? What are the goals? How do you do it? I'm like, Stefan is how you do it. Like everything that Stefan has done, yes, that's exactly how it's done. So that's kind of for us, it's like having the social media presence so you have the audience, so you're valuable. You have to be able to really like do it all, have the audience and be really, really good at your job.
You know, you were talking about how so many of the bigger, you know, the main cast of series, even animated series, are going to big names. And I feel like we saw some of that. We rarely get a behind the scenes look into the world of voice acting, but I feel like the mainstream world got a peek in it this past year. Was it this past year? The pandemic made me lose all sense of time. But when the Futurama reboot was announced, and John DiMaggio, who is the voice actor who voices Bender, was the only one of the main cast that wasn't originally re-signed. And from the little bit that I remember, because I don't have that information at the front of my recall, one of the big problems with him was he, I believe, was not being offered the same money that some of the other actors were. A lot of the other main cast is also famous in their own right on film and TV. Like notably, what's her name? Leela, Katie Seagal, or Seagal.
Yeah.
She's quite famous in her own right. A number of the other voice actors are kind of famous in their own right on film and TV. And he brought into the main discourse that like, listen, I'm the voice of all your favorite characters. I am a huge name in this industry. I have every right to demand to hold out for the right contract. And he eventually was successful, but it was a long negotiation. And there was a lot of heat about it. As a person in the voice acting world, how aware were you of what was going on? Were you paying attention to that? Did you like the outcome? Oh, I love this. What's going on?
Yeah, it was a thing. One of the things that I was just really glad about was that it was getting so much attention on it, because voice acting rates have plummeted. We are definitely like considered less than when it comes to entertainment. Like voice acting is like the like, oh, like you're not on camera. You know, like we are often thought of as less than. And it's so easy to replace your voice acting talent too. Like we have celebrity voice matches. That was an option where like, you know, for DiMaggio, he could have just, you know, if he's like, no, I'm not going to work for that. You need to pay me. They're like, we'll find somebody who can do a Bender impression. Go yourself, you know, and the rates have just plummeted for that reason too. Like like we were talking about earlier, that's one of the tough parts about things being so accessible with voiceover. Like again, I love it. I love that there are more opportunities for people, but what's tough is there are more opportunities for people who don't know to negotiate their rates and to be paid fairly. And those people are taken advantage of, mm-hmm. you know, so something, a job that used to pay $5,000, you're having these really big brands pay like $100 for a gig for that because they can, you know. So it was something that I was really glad that was getting attention. And it was also something that was very sobering too, where I was like, man, they can do that to DiMaggio. Like, I really am just, you know, playing with fire every day here. Like, it's scary. Also, one of the reasons why I work to have my own brand and to create my own content and do everything that I can that is just like under my own, like, what would you call it? Own brand, my own mm-hmm. like platforms and everything, because
to make yourself more recognizable. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I can create my own jobs. You know, I can create my own spaces, my own events and everything. People are coming to see me. And I think that that's something that as entertainers, as people who are artists who are working in those spaces, you know, whether we like it or not, it's something that I think is happening. And we have to really, really be aware of that and take that into consideration.
It is so, you know, I know that we've talked about, you know, the fact that AI is a problem. Pricing is a problem. Even if you get a job, it's not. You know, I tell authors the same thing. I mean, there's authors that will sell books to smaller presses without an agent. I've heard of authors getting a $0 advance on their book deal. And, oh, but you're going to make such and such in royalties once the book sells. And it's like, there is no guarantee that that book is going to sell, or there's no guarantee that that book is going to sell this year. Books, especially in a lot of niche subjects, books can take 3 to 5 years to sell or to sell out of your advance. And, you know, I wrote that book now. I spent that 12 months researching, writing, and doing that book now. I want to be paid for my work now, not in 5 years. You know, the time value of money is I am losing money by not having it now. So not being paid for work properly. Is there anything that gives you hope about the future of the industry? Because, you know, with accessibility, I mean, we're talking to you, I guess I have a mouse in my pocket. I'm talking to you in your home studio. You know, when we think of studios or when we think of voice acting, a lot of us, you know, think of like the few times when we get like a behind the scenes documentary of like a Disney movie being made and some actor going into a sound booth somewhere. But this is your sound booth in your own house. So it is becoming a lot more accessible for people to do this work that if you're lucky enough to be able to break in. Are things like that giving you hope that, you know, I can do this at home? There's what's going right in the industry? End of answer. Final answer.
Oh, man. Yeah, that kind of answers that. There's a lot of issues in the industry right now. And it really does. I feel like I keep repeating myself and I'm sorry, but it really does like tie back to like it all comes down to sales. It all comes mm-hmm. down to like being a personality that can sell stuff. And I've seen that with auditions. I've seen that in, as somebody who works in a lot of areas of this industry. So that means like sometimes I help with casting, sometimes I help with script writing. I'm very versatile in my skill set and I've been around for a minute. So I have those like connections built up. And something that I have seen time and time again, and as I talk to my colleagues and they have said they have experienced this as well, a lot of times the casting comes down to who has more social media followers, not better at the job, who has more social media followers so we can promote this thing, so they can promote this thing. And that's what was really discouraging to realize in the last couple of years was like, that is what is going to matter is for voice acting, which for a really long time, people were really in love with voiceover because you didn't have to do all of that. You didn't have to be an influencer. You didn't have to be an on-camera personality. It was all about the craft of what you could do with your voice. And it still is. And you also have to have this other component. I think that is what's so tough, is you have to have the same skills or better than you always have had to have. And then you just have to – it keeps adding every year. Now you have to be really good at marketing. Now you have to be really good at editing videos for all these different platforms. Now you have to be really good at whatever else it is, editing your own audio. Now we have to edit all of our own audio.
That's learning the algorithm, figuring out keywords, figuring out what time of day I'm supposed to post. What kind of content is going to flag the content moderation filter this week?
We're not just voice actors anymore. And there was a time where – you could have a really cool voice. You could be really good at working the mic, really good at taking direction, a really good voice actor. And that was enough. And I don't think that's enough anymore based on what I'm seeing in the industry.
It's so strange hearing all of this because I have seen the same exact thing happen in publishing and being.
Oh, I'm not
used
surprised.
used to be you could be a good writer and that was enough. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I have seen bad writers get book deals because they had a large follow. There are publishers out there that will give anybody with a certain amount of followers a book deal. It's not going to be a great book deal. It is a book deal, though. And that adds to their legitimacy in whatever field that they're in. You know, if I'm a wellness influencer and I hawk pig urine and tell you it's going to make you 20 years younger or something like that, if I've got a million followers, I can get a book deal.
Yeah. And I've heard that from a lot of authors that I narrate for. They've said the same exact thing.
Enough followers gets you a book deal. And on the flip side, going back to the very first thing we talked about, not participating in social media can be a detriment to your career.
I don't think it's possible in any field,
well,
any industry.
Because publishers are no longer promoting books. I mean, I got on TikTok because the day that I signed my last book deal with Simon & Schuster, it was my big break, getting in the big five, everybody's dream.
Yep.
I had a friend that said, okay, you signed your deal today, your book comes out in 12 months, you need to get on TikTok because that's where books are being sold. And that means suddenly I have to be good in front of a camera and suddenly I have to figure out audio and video and lighting and all of this. And it was I had breakdowns, like figuring out, like, I've been trying to film this video for an hour and there's glare in my glasses. And how do I find lighting how do I get an indirect light? I was just, I would have breakdowns because I'm like, I hate this. I hate that I have to do, if it were fun all the time, sure. But it's not.
Yeah.
And I it's just so interesting hearing you talk about how follower count turns into careers, but follower count also inhibits career growth. And I just don't think people quite realize how much of your day is spent thinking about that.
Well, and I think people don't want to talk about it. I think you're not, I think, like, you're not supposed to talk about it, really. You know, it's taboo to talk about, in my opinion, because it's not nice. You know, people don't want to think about it that way. And I think everybody kind of realizes it, but it's not polite to talk about, you know, because it's gross.
Well, sure. I mean, oh gosh, adult life is just a middle school popularity contest. Yes. Unfortunately,
it's not very positive. And if you have a positive mindset, you won't feel this way, Dawn.
Okay, so how did you figure out you could do this with your voice?
Which, that specifically?
Literally all of this. How did you figure out you could sound like that? How do you open your mouth up and all of that comes out? All the many people that you can do.
Because I'm a brat and I imitate people.
I loved your video that you did the other day where you did like three different kinds of like anime characters.
I was like,
I can close my eyes and I can hear these three distinct characters from these three distinct shows. And I hate you because I can't do that. I can be entertaining and I can read in an entertaining way and I can perform in an entertaining way. I can't do that. How do you, if I'm interested in this work, how do you do that?
I'm going to tell you exactly what I did too, and everybody hates this answer. I started doing it when I was a kid, and like I would repeat everything. So anything I would hear, like watching TV, movies, radio, music, anything like that, I would just keep repeating it. I'd keep repeating it. I had something, you might remember these. Remember Yak Backs?
Yes. Mine was purple.
I had one. Mine was green.
Yep. Yep.
And
that was the weirdest concept for a toy.
Oh my gosh, but I loved it because I would like, I'd record it, I'd listen to it, and I'd keep listening to it. And then I'd listen to the other thing and I'd be like, does that sound like that? So I have been like, which is a big leg up as a voice actor and like being in this industry, because a lot of people aren't doing that. Most people, they hate hearing their voice. You know, they hear it, they're like, ugh. I've been doing it for my whole life, where I've like had headphones or had something like the Yak Back, where I'm like, I'm very aware what my voice sounds like. And it's been literally like over, you know, it's been decades of practice of doing that, of like hearing people and then imitating it and listening back, you know, like with the anime. Okay, so, you know, it sounds like a boy. What am I noticing about this? He's down here. Yeah. So it's like a lot of people aren't seeing all of that really unglamorous practice of just sitting by yourself, you know, and like listening and then imitating, being really annoying to your family and everybody around you. But a lot of it, I think for me specifically, and I think everybody's probably different, but I'm from a very musical family. One of my parents is a drummer and is like that, like just sat down one day in front of a friend's drum kit, listened to something and started imitating it. And everybody was like, what is going on here? And I'm able to do that with sound for the most part. There's some stuff that's out of my range, of course, but like I've been doing that my whole life, has just been imitating and mimicking everything. And I love doing it. And I have this weird ear for it.
Do you also sing?
Most voice actors do. For some reason, it does not work for me. I'm a horrible singer.
So unless I'm imitating somebody. Do you ever take a job? Like, do you ever do character work where you have to sing and suddenly you're like, oh no, I guess I better figure that part out?
Not unless it's cartoonish. Like, I can sing in like a cartoonish fashion, or I can imitate people that have very distinct singing voices, like Gwen Stefani, you know, like
sure,
she's like really
sure.
up here, like, you know,
or Kesha or something like that.
Yeah. Like something where it's like, it's singing, but you know, like, like, you know, or anything like very cartoonish, like, and today's the day, like stuff like that. It is different because there's something that's very specific there to imitate. My own voice, though, can't do a thing with it as far as singing goes. I don't know why. I think it's just my natural voice is not the most melodious.
Okay, so let's talk technology. You have a lot of stuff going on in front of you. So what does the average voice actor need to have to get this, you know, I'm in the deep, dark, this American life void? I think every voice actor, anybody that does any kind of audio, we all want to sound like we live in whatever deep, dark, warm void that Ira Glass lives in on this American life. I feel like he set the standard for like what good sound is. Yeah. So what do you have? What's your setup?
So that's a particular sound. I want to answer all of these questions because I have
yes.
This is just a very small part of what's going on too, like with everything here. So I'm in a temporary booth because I am building an actual sound studio in my home, which is a very expensive, very long project. Like we're probably at least a year out from that being done. So this is a very temporary booth. But a lot of people record in something like that. This is a custom, like what people would imagine when you hear Whisper Room. I don't know if you're familiar with the Whisper Room, but that's essentially what this is. So for people who are like, what's going on here? Basically, this is like a custom Whisper Room. And if you don't know what that is, you can look it up.
Oh, okay.
It's a sound booth.
Okay.
So imagine like a freestanding booth.
Oh, okay.
Very similar. A lot of professional people record from something like that. So if, you know, like Christina Milizia, who records a lot of really big projects, she has a Whisper Room, or at least she did. It's not cheap.
So expensive.
And that's another thing people don't realize.
So expensive.
It is. And yeah. A lot of people don't get that it's like, you can't just get a $100 mic and sit in your closet and expect it to sound like a professional broadcast. There's a lot of sound treatment that goes into here. So what you're seeing here, the walls are acoustic blankets, not moving blankets, acoustic blankets. And then if you see these little black things right here, those are bass traps. And then, this is custom for my setup that I did with a voice acting engineer, not a music engineer. It is very different. And this is all set up for my specific voice, my specific equipment, how I'm sitting. All of this is engineered to do something very particular with the sound.
And what role does the Venusaur play?
This is a pop filter. And
no, the Venusaur. What is that doing? Is that absorbing bass behind you?
This?
The Venusaur.
Behind, next to the Umbreon. Ivysaur.
Oh, is that an Ivysaur?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. What role does it play in your sound recording?
Ivysaur plays the emotional support role. It does not really play like a sound
role. Okay, so I've got bass traps. I've got acoustic blankets. What kind of microphone do you have? I'm a nerd.
I usually hate saying this because
is it Rodecaster?
No. This is Mojave, but I usually don't like saying what it is because people are like, oh, that's the mic I'll get because Tawny Plattis uses that mic.
Oh.
This is a mic for my voice. This is not a mic for everybody's voice. You want to get a consultation with an engineer so you can figure out what the best microphone for your voice in your sound treated recording space is going to be. One mic does not fit all. This is a Mojave one. Yeah,
You could have a consultation with a sound engineer
to find a
microphone. I bought a Blue Yeti.
I know. I
a decade
tell.
Ago. I am gagged. I'm so gagged. Oh my God. I have never been cut so low, Tawny Plattis.
It's fine for podcasting.
Wow. Some of us are just out here hustling, Tawny Plattis. Some of us don't have Mojave money, okay?
It did take me 30 years to get Mojave money. It's not for voiceover.
Podcast listeners are going to love this. This is great audio right now. Just 7 minutes of laughter. Oh, God. Okay.
Well, like, she was so mean to him.
What's wrong with my microphone, Tawny? God damn it. The hell?
It's fine for podcasting. No, for voice acting, though, there's particular kinds of mics that are going to be picking things up. And there's something to be said about like clarity and for what's enhancing with your vocal tone specifically. So for instance, like if I used a Rode, it would be horrible because I have a very high pitched voice. This is not my natural speaking voice. I've been pitching my voice lower since I was a teenager because
really?
I have a very high pitched voice. And adults in my life were like, you need to adjust that or nobody's ever going to take you seriously.
Isn't that hurting your larynx? Isn't like forcing? Who cares? I've got Mojave money. I'll get throat surgery one day. It's fine.
Oh man, Mojave money is not going to get American healthcare, Don.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you're pitching your voice low, and this microphone is sexy. Was. You've got a pop filter. I promise I'm really good at interviewing.
Are you really good at interviewing people that are like heckling you during the interview?
So good. I'm really good at it. It was so good.
Didn't know I was going to show up and like read you to filth today.
God,
did
you? That was an excellent read. God, that was such an excellent read. Okay, you know what? That's fine. What microphone should I be getting, Tawny Plattis? What do you recommend for the average flamboyant homosexual who does a podcast in his home office?
If you're just podcasting, a Blue Yeti is totally fine. If you're starting out with voiceover, a lot of really good mics to be... Again, I always, always get a consultation as a voice actor with an engineer because it's going to save you so much money and time, and it's going to sound so much better. The consultations are oftentimes free, too.
Like, really?
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, or very affordable. Like, they're between $50 and $100. They'll, like...
Oh, okay.
You know, talk to you, like listen to your voice, give you a good evaluation. A lot of people start out with a Rode, people that typically have richer, bassier voices. I don't use a Rode.
I don't have one of those.
You might do well in a Mojave then. The Mojave's bringing out what little warmth and bass I do have. On a Rode, I sound very, what you call tinny. So tinny is like that, sounds like it was like recorded in a soup can, you know, like that. And it's like, like it kind of sounds like a mosquito.
Google's been listening to us because I typed M and it said, oh, Mojave microphone? Don't love that.
No.
Don't love that. Scary. And jump scare.
And you build as you go, too. So, like, you start out with, like, I didn't start out with a Mojave. I started out with, like, a $150 microphone. Was it a Shure? But you can get a good microphone for, like, a couple $100s. Like, they're not as like prohibitively expensive. You don't have to start out with a Neumann. I don't have a Neumann. I've been doing this since I was a kid. I don't have a Neumann.
What is a Neumann?
Oh, it's like a $1,200 mic, like minimum.
So it's Mojave. So I'm looking at it right now.
You can get a Mojave, or at least you could. When I got mine, at least it was $800, which ain't nothing. But
oh, okay, you know, well, there's one there that says $800.
Yeah, mine was $800.
And did you just call me poor on the same voice? Did you just call me poor?
And no, it took me 2 years to save up for it.
Just save it. Stop eating so much avocado toast, Dawn. Stop.
Absolutely
it.
Absolutely not.
And go buy yourself a microphone. Tawny Plattos
eating
is going to read me for
toast
filth.
Avocado toast is an act of resistance, and I'm all for it.
Okay.
But it doesn't
What is
have
the most overrated piece of equipment out there? What's the thing that you that people are like, oh, you need this? And you're like, no, I don't. No, you don't.
Oh,
stupid.
That's a good question. The most overrated piece of equipment? I always go to underrated, funny enough. What's overrated, though? Probably getting, like, the stupid expensive microphones. Like, you can get a good one for, like, a couple hundred to a few hundred dollars, you know? And I always tell people, like, think about starting voiceover, like starting a business. You know, I did not have a bunch of money to throw into voiceover right off the bat. I was doing voiceover part-time while I was working full-time, and I built it up. The microphone that I started out with was like in the $100 to $200 range, you know, and then every time I got a job, I put that money, like from the voiceover, I put that money aside to reinvest into the studio, you know. So this studio has been 10 years in the making, and I'm still, you know, and now I'm building something in my house, you know. So you're always reinvesting back into your business, like anything else. That is the mindset that you really have to have with this. Is not like it's, which I hate to say, but it's not just like, you know, I'm doing fun art things. Like, you have to actually have a business plan and treat it like a business, like a retail store. Like, I always tell people, there's not much difference being a voice actor than there is like starting a restaurant. You know, most people are like working 15 hours. I just, like, this past year stopped working 12 hours a day. I've been working 12 hours a day for years, you know, 6-7 days a week. It is a, and I'm not advocating for this, I'm not saying it's okay, but it is a grind, you know. It shouldn't be, but it is. You have to work really, really hard, and it's not easy.
So I have a follow-up question to that, but I do now want to ask, you did say that you typically go to underrated pieces of equipment. So what's the most underrated piece of equipment out there?
Your sound treatment, because like your actual equipment, your recording equipment, like your microphone, your preamp, all your processor, all that stuff, that does not have to be stupid expensive. Like I was saying, you know, you can get like a pretty decent mic for a couple $100. And as technology is getting better, all those prices are going down. You can get really good audio off of something that is not going to break the bank. It's pretty attainable. But people don't invest into the space treatment. That's where you should be really putting your money.
Don't look behind me. I do. I have wanted either acoustic blankets or acoustic tiles for my office for a while now, and I haven't done it. So, because this wasn't, I didn't know that this was going to be as permanent of a space as it has ended up being. So that's why I haven't done anything to this room, but I probably should.
There's always little stuff you can do that, like, will go a long way. Like, you don't have to get the stupid expensive bass traps. You know, you can get, like, the foam paneling, and you can get a consultation with an engineer and be like, hey, which, again, I think saves a ton of, like, money and stress and time in the long run. You get a consultation with an engineer and be like, this is what I want to achieve. This is the space I have. What should I do? This is my budget. What can I do with that? And they will give you something that you will be shocked. Like, when you listen to the before and after, that was something I always really liked doing, was like, as I grew with my business, was like, okay, saved up some money so I can get, like, the next, you know, thing and get my next deal. And then I would listen to, like, what it sounded like after, and then, like, what it sounded like before. And I was like, oh my God, like, the quality enhancement. Oh, I thought I sounded, like, good before. That was trash. This sounds amazing. So get that consultation. Like, it's so worth getting a little bit of help. And like I said, it's pretty affordable. A lot of engineers will help you for a very, very low cost, if not nothing. A lot of engineers have done free consultations.
Is there anybody that you are dying to work with? Any yeah. dream role? Like, do you want to be a Disney princess? Do you want to, like, are you going for, like, what's the dream role?
I actually just made a YouTube video about this, like a long form video essay. I would love to play a villain, like Gray Delisle as Azula in Avatar: The Last Airbender. That stuck with me. That has stuck
and
with me.
And they're casting
whole
right
life.
Now. Everybody knows they're casting right now for the new Avatar
they are,
series.
Yeah.
Oh my
but
God.
But I am white, so we will not be auditioning for that.
That's true.
We will not
That's
be
true.
Doing that.
Yeah.
But yep. a character like that, you know? Mm-hmm. Just that, like, her voice and just the what she brought to that character was absolutely incredible. And that's something that I would love to do. I love playing villains. Anytime I've got to play that, it's brought me so much joy, because there is such a emotional range that you can really tap into there. You know, there is these expressions that you'd never do that in real life. You would never treat anybody like that. You would never, like, do anything like that. So being able to really act, you know what I mean? Really mm-hmm. act and, like, create this, like, iconic villain is something that I just dream about. That would be absolutely incredible.
Well, I wish that for you.
Thank you.
If I could gently recommend, somebody should write you a villain role, because you can kill. You're good at it. You're very good at it. I love it. This has been great for my ego. I needed this. I have friends
now
that are going to watch.
I feel bad. I was just teasing.
No,
I'm sorry.
I have friends that are going to watch this interview back, and they're going to be like, finally. They're gonna DM you and be like, can I be your friend? Because he needed that. He needed
I'm sorry.
To be. No, don't. No.
I need to stop teasing. I'm sorry.
No,
it's
I love
mean.
It. It's great. No, I loved it. It was great. I think I had another question for you, but we are running swing out of time. Swing out of time? That's not a thing. Let's make it a thing. That's fine. Running right out of time. If there are people that would like to connect with you online on the social media that we all hate but need, how can they do that?
So all of my socials are just at my first and my last name. I am the only one on the planet with this name. Tommy
so jealous.
Lattis.
So jealous. I have
it's
to compete
a goofy
with
name.
So many people. I don't have my name on any platform. I can't. I don't have my name on any platform. Maybe one day I'll get really famous and I'll get some of those lawyers that, like, go around, like the people that did, like, Pink's, like, when, because Pink couldn't have Pink on, like, any social media, because everybody grabbed it because it's a color. And so then she got, like, people to go out and, like, get her name for her on all social media. So I'm like, maybe I can get to that level and just get people to be like, that's a good
goal.
That's
something to aspire to. I think so.
There you go. Like, to cyberbully people into giving me my name on social media.
Oh, that sounds joyous.
If I do end up having that money, I'm going to write some kind of script and you're going to call them for me. And you're going to be the villain on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. We got that. I've been doing corporate narration long enough. I can be a villain, villainous corporate shill.
What is the worst job you've ever had?
Oh, the worst job I've ever had was definitely doing this really dry medical doctor's notes read. It was, and I'm interested in everything. I love learning about absolutely everything. Like, I am that person that will be reading about, like, the life cycle of a very particular kind of slug at 2 a.m. at Wikipedia. And I'm like, I can't go to bed. I need to know how this ends. You know, like, I'm interested in everything. The medical stuff was so dry and dense and filled with such complicated medical terminology. Like, I didn't know what I was saying, which is not a good thing to have as a voice actor. It was like 2-3 hours long too of like notes. Never again. Stop doing.
Thank you for saying that. You reminded me of the question that I wanted to ask you. Okay. So you said that you work 10, 12 hours a day. That is exhausting on the voice. Like when I,
yeah, that's not all my voice.
What is it?
That's business. Like, and that's another thing too, is like a lot of people don't realize that being a voice actor doesn't mean like, okay, I'm getting in the booth and I'm going to voice act. That is a very small portion of my day where I'm actually voice acting. Most of my day is spent getting the jobs and maintaining my business. That is what most voice actors are doing.
So how, my question is, the only possible remotely experience that I have in this world was, again, narrating my own audiobook. I promise this is not a plug for myself. I'm just trying to relate to it. I would do that for four to five hours a day at most. My producer on the project she was like, I'm really impressed because you can go longer than a lot of people can go. And I think it's all the podcasting and stuff for years. And I just refused to quit. But your voice gets so dry and so painful after a while. What's the secret sauce to keep going?
You have to take breaks. That's one thing. It's like, do not strain yourself. If you feel tired, take a break. Go take that 15 minutes, go sit down, go take a walk outside. That's really important, I think, just for mental health as well, because we are like in these booths. And mine wasn't always cute either. Like, I had to make it like this because it was really wearing on me. It was just white walls and it was a lot smaller than this too. And I was like, I'm starting to hate my job. This is a dream job. I shouldn't hate this, you know, which is why I got it cute. But water, you have to be constantly hydrating. And then everybody does have different stamina too, which I think is really important to remember, is like some people are going to just be able to do it longer than other folks. But staying hydrated, and not just while you're recording, but like consistently in your life, is really important. Practicing good vocal health, which, like, I'm not a medical professional, so I don't advise on that. But practicing good vocal health, staying hydrated, eating properly, just kind of like staying healthy. And
do you have a favorite tea or something? Is there something that like you swear by, like, oh, this brand of Shushang tea is the best brand to keep your voice? No, just good old water and lemon.
I don't think so. I'm a little sus of people that say stuff like that, like, because I think it's very individualized. So it's like, this might work really well for you. I don't know why.
I think sometimes it's a mental trick. Of like,
I totally think so.
You're psyching yourself out. Yeah.
But yeah, like, honestly, like, there's so many different recommendations and so much stuff because everybody's so different. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is like trial and error and figuring out what works for you. For me, green apples, chewing gum to keep like a consistent like salvation for me is a big one. I have some health issues with some medication that requires me to take, I have to take it, and it gives me dry mouth really bad. So for me, it's like kind of a constant battle. So, you know, that's what works for me, is like the green apples, I'm always chewing gum. I always have gum in my mouth, and staying really hydrated. But that's what works for me. Some people don't even have the issue. They're just like, I don't have mouth noise. I don't get tired. I don't, you know, that's just how it is.
I hate those people. Screw those people.
Me too. Same. One of my closest friends in voiceover, like, we talk every day. He's like that. I'm like, well, like, doesn't it take you like a while to like edit out the mouth noise and everything, you know? And he's like, no. And I'm like he just doesn't have mouth noise.
Rude. It's frankly rude. honestly.
And that's another thing is that, like, when I say, you know, it really comes down to like an individualized thing. Like, I have really big lips. I have really big teeth. I have big cheeks. Like, there's a lot going on over here. Not everybody has that too. Like, there's a lot of mouth noise just because of my, what do you say? My like structure, you know, my oral structure and everything. If you have a deviated septum, that will affect things. Like, it's so different for everybody. And it's so just, it's such an individual thing. So, you know, figure out what works for you. Take some information from some different people. Figure out what applies. If you are privileged enough to have access to healthcare, you know, see the ENT regularly, get everything checked out. That's ideal.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. It was such
thank
a pleasure and privilege
to get to
speak with
you. Sorry I was mean
to
you.
Oh my God, no. No, it's great. I'm going to be going shopping for microphones and blankets. And I'm going to write like Tawny's place or something on the blank.
See, this is my Tawny Achilles heel. I thought we were closer than we were. I'm like, I can tease him. I'm like, I just destroyed
this
man.
No, you can. My friends are going to love it. They're going to love it. Yeah, because I brag about how good my audio quality is, and I love it's going to be so good. This is going to be
so
good.
Bad. I'm like, we're clicking. It's fine. We've been friends forever. This is great. He'll laugh.
Right. We're there. I did a lot, and they are going to laugh even more. People like when I am humbled publicly. It's great.
My manager is going to listen to this, and he's going to be like, and that's why you have trouble. Like, this is why you can't network. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is why.
Her manager, hot manager, Jimothy manager. Jimothy, can I call you James?
You're so close to his name, too. That's so funny.
Jimothy. I would hire Tawny to do literally anything vocally.
Don, we can only get so wet. Control yourself.
Yes, I've watched Archer. Thank you. I've seen that show. Okay, Tawny Plattis, thank you so much for being here on Head on Fire. I loved it. You're great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was so much fun.
And that's going to do it here for this episode of Head on Fire. My thanks to my guest, Tawny Plattis. Tawny, I love you to little bits and pieces. I'm going to get a new microphone and send you the bill. If you like this show and you want to support it, there are a number of ways to help. Please consider sharing it with your friends on social media. That is the biggest and best way of helping this show grow. You could also like or rate the show 5 stars on places like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And while you're there, leave a review. Even a few emojis helps recommend the show to other listeners like you. If you hate the ads at the beginning and end of this show, consider joining my Patreon on a monthly basis. Patrons receive additional audio and video content, as well as archived episodes, a private Discord server, and fun goodies. I am currently writing a book, and Patreon supporters are going to get like little inside peeks into what's coming into that book. So I'm just letting you know if that's a thing that you are just dying to get a little leg up on, that's the place to go. You can sign up at patreon.com/headonfirepod. If you would like to connect with me on social media, I am on TikTok and Instagram and Twitter for what that's worth these days @headonfirepod. Thanks so much for joining, and thanks so much for tuning in and downloading and sharing the show. I've got to go, but before I do, please remember that we can only get so wet. Bye.
We'll be right back.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.